Luke chapter 14. We're considering our Savior as the speaker of parables. One day I may bring to you each parable, one by one, all the parables, large and small, that our Savior spoke during His ministry on earth. Today I want to bring to your attention three or four of them. And what is of interest today is the occasion of these parables. At times, our Savior would have an audience to come to Him, and He would have parables already prepared. We can understand that. But at times, an occasion presented itself, and without being prepared, our Savior would have a parable. What do I mean without being prepared? I mean without saying, today I'm going to give these parables and make these applications. The brilliance of our Savior was this, that when an occasion presented itself, already in His mind, He had a parable that was appropriate for the occasion. So, notice these brief parables today, one of them a little longer than the other, but notice our Savior, the speaker of parables, in this instance. Luke chapter 14. And look at verse 7. I better tell you about verse 1, first of all, for the context. 14:1 of Luke. And it came to pass, when He went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees on the Sabbath day to eat bread, that they were watching Him. And we're not going to be concerned now about their accusation when He healed on the Sabbath day. But please notice that He is in the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees. These are the ones who are meticulous about having everything exactly as it was, not only according to the law, but even beyond the demands of the law. And so He's in the house of one of these rulers of the Pharisees on the Sabbath day, and they are watching Him. But what is so interesting here is that they are watching Him, but He is also watching them. And so after they would sit in judgment on Him about healing on the Sabbath day, then look at verse 7. They were watching Him, and now He has watched them, because this is what we find. And He spake a parable unto those that were bidden, when He marked how they chose out the chief seats, saying unto them, when you are bidden of any man to a marriage feast, sit not down in the chief seat, lest, perchance, a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee, and him shall come and say to thee, give this man place, and then thou shalt begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest place, that when he that hath bidden thee cometh, he may say to thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have glory in the presence of all that sit at meat with thee. For every one that exalteth himself shall be humbled, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, look at verse 12. Again, think of our Savior at this feast, and He makes these remarks to all those people that are with Him. Verse 12. And He said to him also that had bidden him, when you make a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor rich neighbors, lest perchance they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, bid the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, because they have not wherewith to recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed in the resurrection of the just. This other one is too long to take up today, but he gives another parable about a feast, and let me at least mention it. Notice that in verse 13 he says, when you have a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. So in this next parable that he speaks, he says this. A certain man, verse 16, made a great supper, and he invited many, and he sent forth his servant. Now, look at this instance when it says in verse 21, and the servant came and told his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, sent his servant out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and blind, and lame. Isn't that remarkable? Because our Savior had just told this man that when he had a feast, to invite the maimed, the blind, the lame, and here the Lord Jesus speaks this longer involved parable, which we shall consider sometime perhaps, and he invites in that parable the very ones that the Savior told them that they should invite when they have a dinner or a supper prepared. Now, look at verse 25. Now there went with him a great multitude, and he turned and said unto them, if any man cometh unto me and hateth not his own father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. For whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now these are the parables. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, doth not first sit down and count the cost, whether he have wherewith to complete it, lest haply, when he hath laid a foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, as he goeth to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and take counsel whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000, or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and asketh for conditions of peace. So therefore, whosoever he be of you that renounceth not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we're so thankful that you sent your Son from heaven to tell us things that no one ever told us before. We are thankful for the tenderness of the Savior, but we are thankful for the plainness, the truthfulness, the bluntness of our Savior as well. Our God, there are some who are rude and take joy in insulting people. And then there are others that are so polite that they will never tell you anything that you've done wrong. We are thankful that your Son was one whose speech was always with grace, yet seasoned with salt. And so from the things that he told those with whom he dined, to whom he preached, may we learn our God and apply these principles in our lives as well. We thank you for these brief parables that he's spoken. And so let us learn the truth of them in practical ways, we pray. We thank you for the blessings that are ours, that we are here, that we have health and strength enough to get here, and determination by the grace of God in our hearts to be here. Bless everyone for coming, Father, and send them away filled and fed by the Word of God. We confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. All of us have been invited at times to go and eat with people, and sometimes we do not want to go, whereas you would think that most of the times you would want to go. Well, I'm thinking of the Lord Jesus and the invitations that he received because he was a prominent rabbi. There are always those who, if there was a man of importance, they want to invite that man of importance to be near them. Not because they care anything about that man, but because he is important, then it will add glory to me because he comes and accepts my invitation to eat with me. That's what happens so often with the Lord Jesus. Because you can see the motives of those that invite the Savior by the way they treat him when he comes into their homes. And why I love and admire the Lord Jesus so much is this, that knowing the character of those that invited him into their homes, the Lord Jesus would come anyway. If I were honest, at times, when people invite you, you know that they're not inviting you because you're the Lord's servant and they want to do it unto you as unto the Lord, but there is some ulterior motive. I'm thinking of one years ago, and every time I would go to this distant city, this man would always invite me to his home, and he was a wealthy man, and I never thought that he really invited me to take care of me, but he wanted to be known that the preacher was the one that came to his house. And so I felt that, and yet the man would treat me so kindly, I would go to his home. But if there were another person who were poor and invited me, and this rich man wanted to invite me, I would prefer to go to the home of that poor person. But in the instances when I went, he was the one that was entertaining me in his home. I had to stay with him for a week or a month at the time, and so I went and did that. Now, our Savior had similar conditions in his own life because he was a prominent rabbi, and the people that admired him and praised him would give glory to the man that was entertaining him. And so these critical Pharisees would say, "Would you come and dine with me?" And the Lord Jesus would say, "Yes." Now, the first reason that I would hesitate to accept such an invitation is the criticism that the Lord Jesus received because he did accept these invitations. When they saw him go to these feasts, if the man happened to be one that was not a character that had a good reputation, they would say, "Why, he's going to eat with a man that is of ill repute. Why, this is a man that collects taxes. Why is he going to eat with that man?" And then, if the Lord Jesus went and ate with one of these hypocritical Pharisees, that he might tell him how to be saved, they would say, "Why, this man doesn't do anything but eat and drink. He's one constantly eating and drinking. Why, he's a glutton. He is a wine bibber." Think of such a thing. Isn't that a sad condition when the Lord Jesus, knowing that they're going to say these things, accepts them anyway? What happens is this. The Lord Jesus knows the character of those that give him such invitations, and he knows what they're going to say about him. But the Lord Jesus is willing to be spoken against, to be criticized, to be watched, to be under pressure all the time when he sits down with people, because no matter what he does, they're going to watch him. If he doesn't wash his hands, not just wash his hands, but up to the elbow, if he doesn't wash himself properly before he sits down, they will criticize him. And then if the Lord Jesus does not accept invitations, they will criticize him for being one who does not care for people. He's not socially inclined. They would criticize him that way. And then if he does go and eat with people, they say he's nothing but a glutton. And if he does take wine, they say he is a wine bibber. They're going to make him a drunkard. So these are the criticisms that you have to take no matter what you do. And so they will criticize him if he does not do a thing, and they will criticize him if he does do a thing. But the Lord Jesus is unconcerned. The Lord Jesus knows the Father's will, and the Lord Jesus does the Father's will. Listen to what he says. When Zacchaeus, a tax collector that was hated and despised by the nation of Israel, when Zacchaeus was in that tree, the Lord Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." The Father had told him, "Today you are to eat with a man named Zacchaeus." And so the Lord Jesus could not refuse to eat with that man. The sage could say, "But Father, if I eat with that man, you know he's hated of the people. He's a tax collector. They will criticize my motives. Lord, do I have to eat with him?" The Lord Jesus never said such things. Again, here is one like Simon the Pharisee. And the Father would say to him, "Today you're to eat with Simon the Pharisee." And the Lord Jesus could say, "But Father, you know that he is a hypocrite. He's hypercritical. No matter what I do." The Lord Jesus never said that. He said, "I will go and I will eat with him." And so here is something that we should take to heart. Not only the persons that invite us, but also the food that they might give. I remember a friend of mine who, when I was young, he would take me places and we would speak together. And he was different from me and from the Lord. So when he would get invitations at an assembly to go to dinner, he said, "We're going to this person's house today because she is the best cook in this assembly." And so it wasn't the person that needed the help from the Lord, but he said, "This woman can really cook food, and so we're going there today." And so I was along with him, and so I would go there. And then I must put in a good word for David Harper. One time in Raleigh, North Carolina, years ago, Lil Robinson invited us home, and I took David Harper along with me. And when we sat down at the table, she had butter beans and black-eyed peas and all sorts of pinto beans, things of that nature, which David Harper hated. And that's all that she had, and a little piece of meat. And so David Harper sat down and ate a little piece of meat and ate all of those other dishes that were on the table, and he said nothing until he got alone with me, and he said it was terrible. He said there wasn't anything on the table that I liked, but he went along. So some of us are not like the Lord, like one preacher friend of mine, and others are like the Lord, like a preacher friend of mine. And so the Lord Jesus was the ideal one. It wasn't the one that he wanted to go and be with, but it was the one that his Father wanted him to go and be with. I remember, this comes to mind now, when I was in Canada, and I'm so thankful that the Lord took it out of my hands, but what happened was this. I had remembered the Lord, and then I was at a big church, a denomination, and they had invited me to preach, and so I went there, and here was the former pastor, and he was a man of means, and had food in abundance, and he had a nice home. But I'm so thankful that before that, a poor farmer had come to me, and I saw the cart that he was driving, and it was an embarrassment to look at. And when I went to his home, I saw it. It was no home that you would be proud of. And so he had asked me, will you come and have dinner with us? And no one else had said anything to me, and so I said, yes, I shall. And so when it came time to go and eat, the man of prominence, the former preacher, came, and those associated with him, and they said, you're going to dine with us today. And I said, I can't do that. I said, another man asked me, and I did not know what plans were made, and I accepted his invitation. They said, oh, you won't want to go to his house. It's a terrible thing to go there. I said, I'm sorry. I cannot embarrass the man. I have to go. And so I went to this man's house, and I remember the car that he was driving. We went to his house, and it didn't look like anything on the outside, but it was a farm. And when we got in the house, the man had a spread of food like those rich people couldn't put before me. He had all of the fresh vegetables from his farm. He had beef. He had pork. He had chicken. He had all of these things on his farm. And this man had them all on the table. And I sat down and enjoyed one of the best meals I'd eaten in a long time. Now, the others might have had food, but I do not think they could have been prepared, and there would not have been that much abundance had I gone with them. But in this instance, I went with the poor, with the one that had no reputation, and God rewarded me. Two ways, in a practical way and in a spiritual way as well. So the Lord Jesus received ever so many invitations. And when he received those invitations, because he wanted the truth of God to go not only to those that were supposedly deserving, but he wanted the truth of God to go to every heart. And so he would go, even if they were going to criticize him, no matter what he did, he would go and sit there. But what is so interesting in these parables that we've read today is this, that the Lord Jesus would go and he would do things that are never supposed to be done. If you went, would you say to your host, you are doing things all wrong here. This isn't the way that you should do things. The feast, the way that you prepared, the invitations that you've given, they're all wrong. Who would do such a thing? The Lord Jesus would. Now listen to him. When the Lord Jesus was invited, all of these other important dignitaries were invited. And he saw that when they came in, they would look for the most prominent seat, the one that would give them the most glory. And can you imagine this? That you were one of those that wanted this chief seat, and you got there quickly, and you got in that seat. And the Lord Jesus would look at all of your guests and say, when you come to a feast, you're not to do the way that you did. All of you here have been seeking out the most prominent seat in the house, but that's not what you're supposed to do. You're to seek out the humblest seat in the house. And then here is something that is amazing that our Savior would say, but he did for this reason. He said, if you seek out, and he's giving practical advice, if you seek out the most prominent seat in the house, then since there are a lot of important people around, if you are sitting there and somebody more important than you are comes along, the host will come up to you and say, you've got to move down lower because here is a man that is more important than you are and he is going to sit here. He says, and then with embarrassment, you will take the lower place. He said, but understand this. If you go to a feast and you take the very lowest seat, he said, you can't be humble because you're in the lowest seat, and it may be that the host will come to you and say, friend, come up higher. And then everybody will say, why, look at this man. Why, he must be important. He must have a reputation. Why, he is a dear friend of the man that's invited us to the feast. And the Lord Jesus made that observation. Now, I'm wondering, if you and I had been at such a feast, and we had taken a good seat, and the Lord Jesus looked at us and corrected us for what we had done. Do you think you would ever forget it? And do you think you would love the Lord Jesus for it, or you would hate him all your life? It depends on how your heart was. It speaks in the Bible about rebuke, faithful of the wounds of a friend. And so, if we have a heart for God, and we do something that is wrong, and we are corrected, we should say, thank you. My manners are not what they should be. I simply wanted a place. And I remember something like that happened years ago, and I was among them to be blamed. We were way up north, and it was a cold day, and the auditorium in which we met had an open fireplace. And some had to sit close to the platform, and it was cold there. And others could sit close to the fire, and it was warm there. And it was a cold day. And all of us, when the fire was there, we were all heaped about that fire, trying to keep warm. And the man in charge came and said, I'm ashamed of all of you. Get away from that fire and go sit in your seats and let some people that need to keep warm get close to that fire. And then with shame, we all slunk away and we went and found a lower seat. And so this man had the courage to tell us what we had done that was wrong. And I never forgot it. And the next time I will wait and be sure that I only go to the fire in a way that will not be reprimanded. And so the Lord Jesus was one who looked at you and saw what you did. And if you did anything wrong, he would tell you. So that's the first thing. Now the second thing is this. He has already insulted the guests that came to this man's feast. Now, he's going to insult the man himself. You see, the host and all those that he invited were alike in heart. They wanted their own personal glory. They wanted the glory of men. And he looked and he saw that the ones that had come to the feast were his rich friends and his neighbors and those that could pay him back for what he had done. And so the Lord Jesus says to him, when you make a dinner or a supper, do not call your friends or your brethren or your kinsmen or your rich neighbors, lest perchance they also bid thee again and a recompense be made thee. Isn't that remarkable? The Lord Jesus had seen through this host, and he knew exactly the ones that he had invited, all his relatives, his rich friends, all of those he had invited. He said, because if you do that, then they are going to invite you to their home again and pay you back. And the man would say, that's the very reason that I invited them, because I am glorified by the rich ones here, and they may do something for me, they may reward me. I expect to be invited to their homes. But the Lord Jesus said, that's not the way to do it at all. You find the people that are poor and the outcasts, and the ones that no one would ever invite into their homes. And they are the ones that you're to invite. But what about my reward? Notice how long you have to wait for some rewards. The Lord Jesus says, they have not wherewith to recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed or paid back in the resurrection of the just. What does it mean? The Lord Jesus speaks of two kinds of people. Some that have done what God would want them to do, and they get nothing in this world. They have to wait for the recompense of the just in the resurrection. And the others, the Lord Jesus speaks about them, and he sees how life has treated them. He says, you have received your reward. And so when you stand before God, you will get nothing in that coming day. So we have to have patience if we do things the way God would want us to do. And it means that if I invite you to my home, it's not that you're going to invite me to yours. It should mean that you're in need and God would have you to be there, and you're hungry and you need to be fed. And you're not to think anything about whether this person can pay you back again. But the Lord Jesus tells us this, that God never forgets, And I'm so glad that God keeps books in heaven, and not only what you give in a material way, if you give God money, but whatever things you do, like feeding people that are hungry, God also has a book, and he writes that down, and he puts that to your credit. And so here, he says, you will be recompensed in the resurrection of the just. So there is the resurrection of the just, and there is the resurrection of the unjust as well. So in the coming day, things are going to be made right. Some things that we've forgotten about entirely, God will say, do you realize that you did this one day? You say, no, I do not remember that. The Lord said, well, I did, and it's one of the noblest things that you ever did. That? Yes. And you're going to be rewarded for it. Here, this is your reward. And then another will be there and say, do you remember when you did this on the occasion that my son was in your home? And this man would say, yes, if he ever got to heaven. He said, well, you're not going to receive any reward for it. You're going to receive demerits for it, because you've been inviting them for selfish reasons. Your ways are the ways of the world, but your ways are not the ways of my son. And so I wonder if after Christ spoke these parables, if they did change, or if, as on another occasion, when he spoke, it says, they scoffed at him. The Lord Jesus is the one who speaks these parables. Even though they hurt, he speaks them to our good. And so let us understand about the low place. Take the lowest place. Then you can't be put down, and God may give you a higher place. And at the same time, the dinners that we prepare, yes, it should be for those that deserve. But, and which of us has ever done such a thing, to bring in the lame and the halt and the blind and the poor? And yet the Lord Jesus says, this is the thing to be done, and we shall be rewarded in the resurrection of the just. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, let us know that some of the things your Son tells us about, they would never enter our minds. But we pray, our God, that we shall remember these things, and while not neglecting our friends and our loved ones and entertaining them, but the Bible speaks about hospitality to strangers, and here about people that have physical handicaps, and our God, let us know that we would be afraid to invite them in our homes. But let us take it to heart, and let us realize these things, and that it's your will, our God, and that your Son taught them. So we thank you for the great and important parables your Son spoke. We thank you also for the brief, practical parables that your Son spoke. We thank you for Jesus our Lord, the parable speaker. Amen. The meeting is over.